This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. In the studio tonight with me, I am lucky enough to have Alex is here.
Bonsoir.
Good evening, Stefan.
Good evening.
And my name's Matt.
Historically, the Northern African country of Tunisia has not had a great track record on LGBTI rights. But a revolution and the excitement of what democracy might bring has given hope to the local LGBTI community.
Khadija Lemkesher is one of those with big dreams for her country's future. She's a film director, producer, thank you, an activist. And she's currently making a documentary called The Lion's Den that shines a light on the hidden reality of LGBT life in Tunisia. Here's a taste of what's coming up.
The documentary we're writing is called Beta Ciuda. It means Lion's Den. Lion's Den, it's in Morneng prison. It's a pavilion reserved for jailed homosexuals.
Is it a jail reserved for homosexual people?
Yes, it's to protect them.
In a Muslim-majority African country, you might think there would be little reason for hope for its LGBTI community, particularly after years of persecution. But Tunisia is on a pathway to change, and part of that change is the sharing of human stories of the local LGBTI community. Khadija Lekemshir is a film director, producer and activist in Tunisia. We started by asking Khadija about her upcoming documentary.
I am writing a documentary with another director from Italia. Her name is Gaia Vianello. We want to make something documentary about the situation and stories of homosexuality and LGBT rights in Tunisia. This documentary is in development now. We are writing.
So, okay. How did this documentary came about?
The situation in Tunisia, it's very particular now for individual and private liberty in Tunisia. Mm. So there is like a schizophrenic atmosphere between public freedoms that deny individual freedoms. You know that after the revolution, after 2011, there's a new constitution that guarantees the equality of person, of equality of freedom, speech freedom, and all this democratic constitution. There is ambiguity with the cultural and religious Arab society here in Tunisia. So there is many association camp, and especially LGBTQ association. There is five, and we saw this problem of criminalizing of homosexuality come with this criminal code, Article 230. And this criminal code, because in Tunisia, Tunisia is still a country that the homosexuality is passible of prison. You know?
So, and I think it's three years, is that right?
Three years. And with that, there is a inhuman test and degrading medical practice to condemn young people who have chosen to be different, you know. So it's very, very problem, yeah?
So what do you mean medical practice? What kind of things do they do?
It's an anal test that it's forced anal examination.
Oh, right.
With a purported goal, of finding evidence of behavior homosexual. Mm. So for us, it's degrading for dignity and for human dignity, and this is for us it has to be stopped. Mm. The documentary we are writing it's called Beatus Yuda. It means Lion's Den. Lion's Den, it's in Morneng prison. It's a pavilion reserved for jailed homosexual in a jail.
Is it a jail reserved for homosexual people?
Yes, yes.
In Tunis, or
it's for,
somewhere?
It's for their protection. It's for in Tunisia. It's for to protect them. Mm. You know, from the other prisons, and it's good and it's no good in the other side because there is hygiene condition are catastrophic, and it's very, very difficult for them to be jailed in these conditions.
So how many people would be in prison or in this line then?
I think because according to testimony, there is 38 now people. It's not crowded.
No,
it's not crowded.
Still, And you said it's very, the hygiene is the level of hygiene is very poor and catastrophic. So is there more risk of things like HIV as well?
I think there is, you know, the behavior, even the police behavior, with the homosexual is very different. When you have a homosexual arrested, it's not like a heterosexual in Tunisia. Till now, you know, even in prison, the other it's another behavior. The words that we use is not the same. The insults are not the same. There's still now many violence against homosexual people in the streets. Hopefully, we are this new association, five association in Tunisia, working hard to make a plaidoyer to change the laws. They are making festivals. They are making a great job with parents, especially in a region, not in Capilla, but in Tunis, in the south, in the north. There is many work to change the behavior, to speak with people, with students. So it's very important. We are going to be a modern country and democratic country because we are Arab country, a Muslim country, and we want to be democratic. So we have to go and to do this path to individual freedom for democracy, you know?
And that was Khadija Lemesha speaking to us from Tunisia on Joy 949.
We should say, so there's some positive signs. We've got more with Khadija very shortly about some of those positive things that are starting to happen. But it is still same-sex sexual acts, the old sodomy laws.
Yeah.
It's still illegal. You can still get be put in jail. There are still, although it seems to be fairly infrequent now that the anal probing assessment is undertaken.
I think the previous president decided that it couldn't be done against people's will, so now people have to agree to it. But it still can be used in suspected gay activity.
Yeah.
So, but and then people have to agree to have it done. So I don't know if they agree under duress or
strange,
pretty limited rule, yes. I would think. And of course, it has been condemned worldwide by anybody who has any semblance of human rights. Mm. Coming up, we're going to find out if there are different ways that parts of the L, the G, the B, the T, and the I community of Tunisia are treated. You are in Tunisia tonight on Worldwide Wave.
This is Otman Batar from LGBT Centre of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Tonight we are indeed in Tunisia. And in 2011, the Arab Spring started in Tunisia as an anti-government protest against their long-standing president. And there was hope for change. We asked our guest tonight, Tunisian filmmaker and activist Khadija Lemkashir, if that positive change for the LGBTI community had actually occurred.
I think it changed for LGBT community because we saw all this association coming in the society. Because before 2011, there is one association that cannot work. So with 2011, all this association comes to work and they opened all these spaces and even the freedom of speech. Because before, the journalists didn't speak about some homosexual arrested or the Article 230, the anal test. All this we didn't speak about because with Ben Ali, it was censured, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that after the revolution, we can speak, we can make festivals. We can. I was in Ramadan in a queer festival, and this is so, it's the first time in Tunisia. We can see that in any Arab country. Little by little, we are changing the side, we're changing the behavior of people, and we are meeting the LGBT because before there was hidden in some houses. We can't make a cinema festival.
Yeah,
you know.
So it was all underground.
It was underground.
In the LGBTIQ community, so it's a very diverse community. Do you think there are people in the community treated differently? So if you're transgender, if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're intersex, would you be treated differently by general society?
You know, in Tunisia, it depends where you are. Because okay. It's a conservative society. So in Tunis, I'm working in a cinema a society, in a cinema atmosphere. So for us, it's normal, you know, we are friends. But if you go in the south, where it's very conservative society, it's they are not treated normally.
Okay.
So it depends where you are. It's more free with the touristic area.
So around Tunis and the south, Hammamet,
it's more open. Yeah, like Hammamet, like it's more, you know,
Djerba.
It's or? Another context. Yeah, Djerba or Sousse,
yeah.
Monastir. Yes, but in the other area, like Kerouan, it's very, very, very difficult. You know the story that six students in Kerouan was jailed for homosexuality because they found. On their computer scenes of homosexuality, and they were arrested.
And what about transgender people?
They are treated like homosexual in Tunisia, in jail. They are it's still very, very difficult, especially for them, because they are arrested even because they are wearing something or they are like they are, you know? Mm-hmm. So... it's very difficult for them. I think they go out especially by night in some special places.
Yeah.
Because now there is places, you know, it's more easy. But it's very difficult for them.
And is there violence against transgender people?
It's the same violence with homosexual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
lesbian.
It's the same violence.
What do you see the future for Tunisia? So you're saying that there is an increase in group and you've got five association together to make things change. You've got your documentary that you're trying to produce and finance to expose what's happening in this lion den. So what do you think the future holds for Tunisia?
I think we are under construction. So we are in the chaos now. Because we economic, especially KO, but we are making a good path for democracy and for especially for individual freedom. You know, even for women, we are making a big path. You know, and right and women rights for LGBTQ rights, we are going to make very, very many good things, especially to change the laws, and it will be, I think, the first Arab and Muslim country. Make that. And I think that not this year, but with this association, with the artists, with the media, with journalists, and all this civil society, we can make a democratic country in North Africa. And we can construct for our children, because I don't think that for me it will be. I will see that. Maybe I will be old to that. We have to do and we have to make this history and we have to construct and we have to change the laws because we can't live like that. This extremism, we are stopping now. We are stopping this extremism because I think that people wake up. And even if it's a religious extremism, I think that Tunisian people are very, very clever and they know what happened these 8 years of, you know, terrorism and attacks. And Tunisian people don't want that because The Tunisian is usually a very, very, you want to live. The Tunisian want to be good life, have good children. They want to be happy. And I think this 8 years marked Tunisian people. And we want to change. There is election in September, yep. October. And for us, it's very, very important to elect the good person, the democratic person. We are trying to see where we want to go. I think that Tunis can have a woman president, maybe, because women here are very, very strong and they are changing many things. So I think that we are under constriction and we have to be patient, especially to work and to keep this freedom speech. So for us as directors, filmmakers, we have to help to change this cultural thing, all these mentalities, this sight of people, because we can do many things and Tunis can be a paradise for individual freedoms and tolerance and happiness, especially.
That's Khadija Lemkeshia speaking to us from Tunisia on Joy 94.9. Love that terminology that we are under construction.
It's
got some realism to it.
And also optimism.
Optimism.
You know, like when you're building something and you don't really know what's going to come out of it. So, yeah, it's...
And we are creating a future, you know, to very inclusive language about where she sees the country going. And those... the other thing that quite often comes up in many countries when LGBT rights are under pressure is links with other minority groups, and she really called out women's groups there. Mm. So the fight for rights is not the LGBT communities alone.
No.
Yeah, no, that was really, really interesting to see how she was able to put all together and see that there were, if LGBT, you know, if women's rights don't increase or improve, there wouldn't be, say, it's just on the same kind of level.
Yeah, yeah. They almost run in parallel, don't they? Yeah. The tourist areas, we have spoken a few times on this show about the role of tourists in, you know, gay tourism in countries where LGBT people don't have very good rights. The fact that tourist areas, there are fewer issues for the local Tunisian community, and there's, I guess it sounds like there's less police oversight. Is that a good thing?
Well, that's echoes of one of the recent shows we did from Indonesia, of course. That's why Bali is such a haven for LGBTI Indonesians. They flock there because they know they can live, you know, under the radar. They can't live like that in even in Jakarta, they seek the havens of tourist areas like Bali. I know that from speaking to Indonesians. About that, so I'm sure that's reflected in lots of countries like this.
I had a couple of friends who went to Iran and got a local guide there who they kind of, I don't know, from the, you know, the web listing guessed that he might be sort of gay friend. they wanted to give him some, you know, some support, some employment, and then through the course of the trip, you know, they struck up conversations, and yes, he was indeed gay, and, you know, was much more... It was also the interaction for him of how comfortable they were with each other, how they lived their life. Like, it was kind of that two-way thing of...
It's a great thing that, a lot of social media has created that opportunity because, you know, okay, the standard apps like Grindr and so forth, they actually do... There are people who sell those sort of services in the sense of I'm talking above board ones. There are some below board ones. But no, I've done the same thing in Vietnam where I just thought, and so, you know, they sometimes approach you, look, I'm a tour guide, and I've, you know, initially suspicious, and then I've employed them, and I've had some great experiences because, again, you're employing someone, for them it's a valuable source of income. They get, as you say, they get contact with people, and so, yeah, it's...
With regard to tourism, though, there's quite a lot of kind of a little bit of conflicting views, sort of, with some people calling to boycott the places where the rights
should
are
you
not.
Leave your money
so
there?
How do and if it really helps the local people, so how what should we do? It's quite difficult.
So it's the same sort of ethical question people raised about Myanmar when it first opened up, that you shouldn't go there because it's supporting all the hotels are owned by the military junta. But, you know, you speak to locals, they're desperate for currency, they're desperate for contact with outsiders, and the country starts to open up. But it is a difficult question. But I would say if you are somehow providing source of income and providing opening cracks in the wall, so to speak, then
let us know your thoughts. 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Do you think you should be leaving your pink dollars in countries that aren't LGBTI friendly? You're on Worldwide Wave. It's Joy 94.9.
joy.org.au, not just a radio station.
This is Tiseke Kasambalas from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
Thanks, Jamie from Marabin. It's great to hear things are moving in North Africa for the community. It is indeed. We like some good positive news out of Africa.
Film director and activist Hadisha Lemkeshir from Tunisia joined us to inspire us with the progress being made. We asked Hadisha what role artists like herself play in this journey of cultural change in Tunisia.
I think that the role of a filmmaker and artists are very important because they can influence people, they can influence politics, they can influence even other Arab countries to make change. So I think that laws, it's only a written thing on paper. We can have the laws, but if the mentality, if you go out and you are beaten, if the violence is always here, we can change things. I think that art can change things because we can take away violence with art, with music, with dance, with movies. And I think that even for young people, it's very important for them to make the education, because we are making all that for all these young people now, these children now in 20 years. We want this Tunisia with the children growing now.
Yeah.
Because we have to work with them. We have sometimes very difficulties to find funds because, you know, some subject like LGBT subject, we can't here find really funds for that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that we have to go on the movie and to make it, even with a small budget. So it's very important to not stop.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Hadisha. It's been great to speak to you.
Thank you for you. I just want to thank you to give me this opportunity.
That's Tunisian director, producer and activist Khadija Lemkeshir speaking to us from Tunisia. This power of the arts to influence culture, because she's really saying that, yeah, okay, we've got some, you can have the law changes, but until you change the minds, it's a lot more difficult. And I guess film storytelling is one of those ways you can change minds. And I was thinking that, you know, particularly with queer film festivals and things like that, it is something that you can run on a small scale. You could bring in films and have people around at your home and do it, or you can, there are examples of lots of countries where embassies sponsor the local film festival and people can come in to a safe space in an embassy and see queer stories.
And films are so much more portable now, aren't they? Like both not only the medium in which they're filmed and then screened, but, you know, you can do them in cafes, you can do them in lounge rooms, you can do them, as you say, in embassies, halls or whatever, you know, like it's just much more...
It's an emailed link.
Yeah.
You don't even have to, wait for a DVD to arrive.
And it was very impressive that they had that at an underground film festival, you know, several years ago. It's done very well.
The Lion's Den too is fascinating. I was the basis of her documentary is around the gay section of prison, if you like, where they're putting gay and trans people who are in jail in the one place, which she sort of said it's for their own security, their own protection.
Yeah, well, it can be two-sided, really, because it is probably a good thing to be protected from the rest of the inmates, because it's different crimes, really. But also, to what extent, then it kind of makes it increase the stigma. You've been to the lion den. Mm. You were, so it's kind of, you've been in prison, you've been to that specific part of prison when you come out and go out in the society.
I tell you, one of the things I am hopeful about is the elections. They've just had their elections. Last weekend. And they've got a new president. Is it Kais Saied?
Yes, I think that's how you'd probably pronounce it. Yeah, a bit of a landslide there. The Electoral Commission announced that he's a former law professor, a 61-year-old, secured 73% of the votes, kind of a dream outcome for most politicians in this day and age. And he's nicknamed the robot for his stern manner. I'm not sure if that's necessarily a compliment, but
he ran a campaign with very, very little advertising, and he ran it on the basis of bringing integrity to the role and anti-corruption and, a really strong ethical campaign.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that, because I think that's the charm of someone like Angela Merkel, who's, she's just, they call her the mother in Merkel. Germany, Mutti, because she's drab, boring, but she does the job. She's just a good administrator. I mean, she's apparently quite, you don't want to be on her wrong side. She runs a tough...
Don't want to see her on a Saturday night.
But yeah, she's the type of person you would just see down your local fruit and veg market, on a weekend
just
in Berlin.
Yeah,
but those sort of leaders are sometimes the best, most effective, is what I'm trying to say, I think.
And I think Kais Saied was elected. They had a really big young people
absolutely
vote as well.
He got about 90% of the youth vote.
Outstanding. Yeah. That's amazing.
Which it's kind of Bernie Sanders-ish on the 2016 election. He got a massive youth vote. Some old white guy gets a massive youth vote. It's quite interesting.
We talked
Kevin
about
07.
We talked about Tunisian election before, because we interviewed Mounir Bitour, who was one of the hopeful to be selected. And I think there was something like 68 to 70 candidates to start with before the first round. So it's quite an achievement to to go. And
by global standards, 61's quite spring chicken, compared to with Bernie Sanders and Biden.
Indeed.
We'll Trump himself.
We will keep an eye on the changes as they progress in Tunisia. You are on Worldwide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I'm Mamikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia, and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the Worldwide Wave.
Don't forget, Joy Nation is still going on, and we are looking to build up for the next 26 years of Joy. Every dollar that you can donate to help make that happen and secure the future of one of only three full-time LGBT radio stations in the whole entire world. We are so lucky here
and
in Melbourne.
How do people do that?
You go to joy.org.au and click on the Chuffed link and make a little donation, and we love you for it.
We love you.
A big thank you tonight to our guest, film director and activist Khadija Lebkemenshier. Keep an eye out for her documentary, The Lion's Den, at your next queer film festival.
Messages from Facebook. Mikey, Rex, Liz, Margaret, Lana and a heaps more who have joined and interacted with us on Facebook in this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
To Alex, our podcaster. Thank you, Alex.
Je vous en prie. And to the front desk, which is
Andy
of course.
And social media master Dean.
All the way
from
the US of A. He keeps us well informed.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.